Take your Bible, open them with me to Psalm 127. I am doing something I've not done before, and that is preach a psalm a month since I arrived here at Friendly. So I've been here serving as pastor for 127 months, and this is where we find ourselves in March of 2025. It is a five-versed song of ascents. These are songs for the road as they walk to Jerusalem. And so as we did earlier, if you're able to stand for a reading from the Word, I would welcome you to do that with me. And I'm reading from the King James this morning, Psalm 127. Hear the word of the Lord. A song of ascent, or a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for songs of hope and faith, songs of celebration, songs of crowding, songs of leading us along, songs of giving something to thee, for thee, with our life on earth. Praise the Lord. We pray now that you'll bless the preaching of your word and that you'll use Psalm 127 in all of our hearts today. And Lord, that you would speak to the lost, that we could come as sinners, come as guilty, come as depressed, come as broken, come as in need of prayer today in the service as we worship you in truth. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, these are songs for the road. We used to sing songs with our children as we drove up and down the road, and we get to doing rounds in the car, and we'd all break out into parts, traveling songs. These are traveling songs. These are walking songs, and songs as they ascended. You can literally say these are songs for walking uphill. And you say that's tough walking to walk uphill. And these hills certainly give us an exercise in that for sure. But as they were going to Jerusalem, whether they were going from the north or from the south or from the east or from the west, they were going uphill. Songs of ascent. Psalm number 120 through 134 are all special. It's like a little hymnal within the larger hymnal. This little mini section just set aside for those three special seasons when the people were called to worship God. The only place they could offer, give offerings and sacrifice animals was in Jerusalem. So to Jerusalem they would go three times a year. You say, boy, that's asking a lot. The Lord is asking a lot, because these people would come from miles and even other countries to go to Jerusalem. Worshiping the Lord is the greatest thing that we can do on this earth. Costs a lot, expectations a lot, requires a lot. Hallelujah. We get to worship the Lord while we're here on earth. What a joy that it is. They would go during the Passover season, celebrating being delivered from slavery in Egypt, and they would offer their sacrifices. They would go during the Pentecost, season of Pentecost, celebrating the giving on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and thanking the Lord for the written law. They would go during the Feast of Tabernacles, remembering that 40 years out in the wilderness, they would set up tents for a week of just celebration and remembrance. God loves his parties. He loves he loves holiday. He loves celebrations and calls us together from work apart from work, apart from just life, and say, come, let's spend some time worshiping the Lord together. Each one of these holidays, whether it's Passover, Feast of the Tabernacles, it was all during a harvest season. They would be harvesting barley, harvesting wheat, harvesting fruit. They would come during this harvest season to bring their offerings before the Lord. So it was written. We're told Solomon is involved. Kind of a form of shalom. It's kind of all in there, kind of mixed in there a little bit. Solomon giving us this, and we are thankful for these five verses of a song for the road. And I pray that it'll speak to your heart as we look at the promise given here, look at the protection given here, and look at ultimately at the provider of all of those things. Let's go and begin with verse 1, the promise. There is a promise, except this is a non-negotiable. This is something you can write this in stone. This is something you can take it to the bank. This is something that is guaranteed from the Lord, that he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, except another non-negotiable. The Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. This is for the home and the Lord, his involvement in our life. Would it be a challenging question if I were to say, does everything that you do from the start of your day to the end of the day involve the Lord? Do you wake up and say, good morning, Lord? Or do you wake up saying, good Lord, it's morning? I don't know. How does that go with you in that whole thing? We are to wake up and say, Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't know everything. I know part of what this day holds, but I want you to be involved in every part of this day from beginning to end. Prayer being the key that opens the day, prayer being the key that locks the day at the end of the day, bookcasing it with the Lord from beginning to end. For you know that without him, we're a mess. As you can see, I'm kind of a mess with him. I would be a total mess without him. I can guarantee you that. Except, he said, this is a non-negotiable. The Lord is to be involved in our work. The Lord is to be involved in our home. The Lord is to be involved in our marriage. The Lord is to be involved in our raising our children. The Lord is to be involved every step of the way in all of our life. And where would we be without him? Amen. Jesus would say in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and without me, you can do nothing. And so he says, except the Lord build the house, the Lord being the center of your life. I pray that every man that's here would say, I want the Lord to be part of my life. Us men tend to want to go alone, do it alone. We think we don't need any help, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And this would say, no, we need the Lord in every moment of our life. For you ladies, sometimes we think, women's intuition, don't need anything. Thanks, no thanks, don't need the Lord. We need you ladies, us guys need the Lord. You ladies need the Lord to help you. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, Paul wrote, not that we are competent or sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency and our adequacy is of God. And it is in him that we live, in him that we move, in him we have our being. In him we would be nothing. And that is for sure. Actually, he says, and Solomon loves the word vain in Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Thus saith the Lord. The word vanity is all through the book of Ecclesiastes, one of my very favorite books in the Bible. But you'll see the word vain used here in Psalm 127. It was a word that was often on Solomon's heart and mind. Except the Lord build the house. They labor. The work that they're doing, it's vain. It's futile. It's pointless. It's not going to work. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman wakes, but and he uses the word again, in vain, he says. That must have been one of his favorite works, to say that my life is going to count for nothing. In the end, nothing, if I don't involve the Lord in my life every step of the way. Everyone here needs God in their life today. You say, how can you say that? Psalm 127 makes that point abundantly clear. There are those who say in our nation, the ACLU, Anti-Christian Liberties, whatever they say, I don't know, jokers. You need to separation of church and state. There are people who say of schools, get God out of the schools. There are people, get God out of legislation. Get God out. Get Him out. Get Him out. They are asking for the destruction of this nation. And I will say it loud and clear. If you get God out of this nation is without any hope. And I will say it, and I will not stutter when I say that. You're asking for the destruction. You're asking for the end. You're asking for a hopeless nation. I think it's Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation. Blessed is the nation. Where it doesn't say where the ACLU's in charge. Or blessed is the nation where wicked human beings are in charge. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, the nation, the home, the marriage, parenting, work, driving, spending, thinking, going, go, go, go. Except the Lord. Without the Lord, it is a exercise in futility without the Lord. And I want you to leave this place. You say, I came in. I didn't volunteer to come in. I was voluntold to come in today. If you are here and you don't know the Lord as the centerpiece of your life, I want you to leave focused in your vocation, focused in your marriage, focused in your home, focused in everything. Give it to the Lord. He says he is giving us a promise. And it is a promise that he will keep when those words leave his lips. The people of God, we are not to let the nation tell us how to be about our business. The church is to speak truth to power. And the church is the kingmaker in this land. And there needs to be a revival in America. And I make no apologies about it. And a revival in your heart, a revival in your soul, a revival in your mind, a great awakening in our nation, a great awakening in your soul this morning. Let Psalm 127 be a wake-up call to come back to the Lord. There's a promise. There's a provider in the second part of 1 and verse number 2. What if he says in 127, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. He uses that word vain over and over and over again. He loves that. He loves that word vain. God not only establishes all things well, home, marriage, nation, job, work, driving, thinking, talking, spending. He not only establishes, he watches over these things and protects them in his sovereign, glorious way. Except the Lord keep the city, watch the city. There would be watchmen on the wall, watchmen in Jericho. The Lord wasn't with them. The walls came tumbling down. Watchmen throughout what would be the promised land. The walls came tumbling down as the Lord went with Israel into the promised land. The same would be true for America. Unless we keep the Lord in the center of everything. I make no apologies in saying these things. We can have an Iron Dome. We can have nuclear submarines. We can have the brightest and the best army. I think those are all gifts from God. Don't hear me wrong in saying that. We can have the best, the brightest, the strongest of everything. But ultimately, our protection is from God. And He watches over us as a nation. He watches over your heart, over your soul. He wants to watch over your soul. He wants to watch over your mind. He wants to watch over you personally. You are His special project, and He wants to watch over you. Acts 17:28. For in Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. That God takes a personal interest in you. And everyone say, hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that He's watching. I need someone to watch over me, as you can easily tell. And it's the Lord who watches over us. Psalm 121:4 says, behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Yesterday I did a funeral for a dear friend of mine. It was a deacon's wife in my first church. I started pastoring when I was 29 years old, and the Lord blessed those years, and I was called back. Her husband died February 4, and I was asked to go and do that funeral. But I was I had a prior appointment with an evangelism conference. I couldn't do it. He died February 4. She died March 4. And so 30 days later, so they called me again and say, could you come up and help us with this funeral? I said, I'm open this time. I'll do that. I'll be a little discombobulated on Sunday when I do this 13-hour journey, but I'll do that for you. But as I stood there at the graveside, I said, Lord, you watch over this grave night and day. And just as I read a moment ago in Psalm 121:4, he that keeps Israel, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He'll watch over this grave. And I asked the Lord, watch over this grave until the trumpet sounds and this dear sister in Christ, her body rises from the grave and will be reunited in heaven. Her body will join her soul. But I asked the Lord, not only watch over this gravesite, Lord, watch over this family until Christ returns. You never sleep. We need the Lord looking after us. And He does just that. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. You say, His ears are plugged, His eyes are closed, His mouth is sealed. No! His eyes are open. His ears hear. He has spoken through His word. He's watching over you today by His good hand. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. This one says, the watchman, if he's watching in vain without the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm not saying don't use chariots. I'm not saying don't use horses. I'm thankful for our military. But our military needs the help of God to protect our great nation. I'm thankful for the oceans around us. But I have heard in years, recent years, that Russia and some other enemies have had nuclear submarines off our coast. And we need the Lord to watch over us as a nation each and every day. Hard work, it's biblically sound. And I like Watchmen on the Wall. I like it all. Hard work is good. And hard work is part of the ethic that we inherited as a nation. We are hard workers. But He says, get some sleep. He says, don't burn the candle at both ends. Don't work yourself into an early grave. My parents always said, and someone said, I'm from Kennett, Missouri. I'm from originally from Malden, Missouri. Both Dunklin County and Kennett, they're here this morning, is the county seat of Dunklin County. My parents would always say, hard work never killed anybody. And I looked at them like, of course, my dad would always say, son, you're not afraid of hard work. You'll just lie right down beside it and go to sleep. I was raised to work hard. I was raised to give it my all. But the Lord says here, he gives to his chosen people rest at night. And it's a gift. I've never heard anyone say, "Oh, insomnia." How many people have you ever heard say this? "Oh, insomnia, I'm so glad you visited me all night last night and I woke up miserable." How many people have ever said that? None have ever said that. Or when you wake up early, you know what part I like. I woke up early about, actually we had someone from India staying with us, and they were leaving the house at about 10 till 5 in the morning. So I woke up about 4:30. And then, of course, I took off for this funeral yesterday. I left about 6:30 in the morning. You know how many people have said, "I'm so thankful to wake up early"? I don't know if you're like me. No one ever says that. He says, he gives his beloved rest. And I'm the first to be a champion of hard work. I like it. But they taught us in seminary, you have one horse to ride. You better take care of that creature. There was someone who gave their life for you. You do not need to give your life. Christ gave his life for us. And you, preacher, do not need to die for them. Take good care of yourself so that you can be as faithful and active as you can, as long as you can. And so he says work, he says watch, he says do all of these things, but he is ultimately the protector. It's in his hands. Some people say, "I'm going to worry all night." I said, "Why would I worry or not? God's going to be up all night anyway. Let him worry about it." He gives us rest. He watches over us, and I think that we all need to discipline ourselves on our pace. Give ourselves the white spaces in the margins. Give ourselves a double space occasionally between lines. Give our space time a chance to just sit back and let the Lord take care of us. Work is a gift from God. Rest is a precious gift from God. And we're thankful for that. Lastly, he not only promises, he not only protects. The psalm says he provides at the very end, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." I read this week, and our kids, we have a WhatsApp kind of a deal where we just chat privately with each other. And I read this, and as I was studying this week, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of your youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed." I texted this to all of my kids. I'm studying my message for this Sunday morning. And I just want to tell you how thankful I am for you today. I think I could almost read into this. Before we had, social health care, social all that, social. People had kids. They said, "I've got 5 kids. They're going to take care of me. Right? They're going to choose my nursing home for me." That's what they're going to do. I've got to take care of them. My life is in their hands. Say, "Oh my," about that. But this really does say that children are such a blessing. We have a representative, Brian, here, introducing legislature this week in the Missouri House, saying that if a child is they're attempting an abortion and the infant survives that, to provide care for that child if he survives the abortion. Now can you imagine a society and a culture that takes that dim and that low of a view of a child that is heart's beating, 10 fingers, 10 toes, working in order, who has somehow survived. It should be the safest place on God's green earth. He has survived an abortion, and we have to say, let's protect that child. The Bible says children are a blessing from God. The Bible says that they are your heritage. The Bible says that God is smiling upon you. God made a promise to Abraham. He says, I'm going to give you something as many as the stars are in the sky, as many as the sand is on the seashore. Lord, what are you going to give me? Children. I'm going to bless you. He promised when he talked to David, he says, your throne will never end because there will be an heir to that throne. Who will be the heir? Children will be that heir to the eternal throne of David. And Jesus is the ultimate son of King David in the Old Testament. Children are a blessing. Children, now this is no Norman Rockwell painting that's laid down here. Sometimes I loved those Norman Rockwell paintings, didn't you? You'd see all the family and all the children sitting there, and there's Thanksgiving, and there's the turkey, and steam's coming off of the turkey, and everyone's smiling. Norman Rockwell could paint a painting like nobody else could paint a painting. Children can be a struggle. I mean, remember, this is written by Solomon. That was kind of a joke right there. He had 700 wives, 700 mother-in-laws. He had seven. He could be a heart attack. Now you're catching on. Solomon wrote this. I mean, Solomon was the guy that, under the inspiration of the Spirit, put this pen to paper on this. He was no easy kid to raise, I don't think. The Lord in His timing, and the Lord in His mercy, and the Lord in His grace has designed it. It may not always look like Norman Rockwell, but it may look like some kind of nightmare on 13th Street or something. But children are designed to be a blessing from the Lord. That little India girl, Lily Grace, that was here Wednesday night, and we kept her in our home. She said, the Lord, I'm the first, person going to college, first person work on a master's degree, first person come to America, first person. Lily, what are you going to do? My brother's going to go to college. My parents have struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. I think I'm going to pay for my brother's college. And what are you going to do after your brother gets out of college? My parents have struggled and struggled and struggled over in India in Makiliputnam, monkeys running around, and I ate a meal in their home. They are a beautiful couple living in India. She says, I'm going to take care of my parents. And I just listened to her and I thought, Psalm 127, what a beautiful statement for a young woman to make, that she would want to invest in siblings, and in, she has that one brother, and that she would want to help her parents as they advance in age. Here is a picture of that in Psalm 127. Lily provided a living example of that. Family life is not easy. In fact, families in the Bible had numerous struggles. David had struggles, Jacob had struggles with his children. But children, when you step back and just look at the big picture, and we're on a long journey and we're walking together hand in hand with the Lord, children are an heritage of the Lord. And we started working with our children, the five of them. We had one miscarriage, so we could have had six. I'll meet that sixth child in heaven. But we started working on this when we got married, and if we ever discovered that Marilyn was expecting a child, we started working on the care of their soul 9 months prior to their birth, that we wanted them to have everything possible to know the Lord and to know that they're prayed for and that God has blessed them. The key to this life, I say all that to say this. You say, get to the point. The key to Psalm 127 is union with Christ. The key to Psalm 127 is making Christ, giving him a place at the table. The psalm, the key to marriage is having a third party in that marriage. His name is Christ. He is our groom. We are His bride. Marriage with Christ. He makes marriage home. He makes it marriage all that it can be through Christ. I think people say it's a curse to be a Christian. It is a glorious blessing to be a child of God. And I could stand at that graveside yesterday and say, this dear woman that I've known, she named her ram after me. I'd say, we're going to see her again. We will be with her forever together. For Christ said, he who believes in me shall never die. He would say, I am the resurrection and the life. And you say, what a fool if you get up in front with a casket in front of you that contains the body of someone that you love so much. What a fool you are to say, if you believe in me, you'll never die. That's what Jesus said. And the question is this, when our body dies, do we die? And Paul would say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that once we take our last breath on earth, it will be followed, if we know Christ, by our first breath in heaven. And that one day our body in the grave will join our soul and our spirit in heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The key to Psalm 127 is Christ. The key to work, life, marriage, home, nation, it's all Christ. And if you've come today and you've never accepted Christ, I want you to say, how can I trust Him? I'm not much on sinner's prayer, but let me say this. If you don't know Christ, say, Lord, save me. If you don't know Christ, I'm not much on you repeating after me, but if you don't know Christ, say, Lord, I need Jesus as my Savior. If you don't know Christ, you don't have to be sophisticated. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm guilty. I need help. Help, Lord. And He will save you if you don't know Christ. If you can come today for prayer, you can come today. I will be here in the front. You say, well, we prayed, you know, early, and we prayed in the middle, and we're praying at the end. We're praying all. If you need prayer with a pastor, I will be here to pray for you and to pray with you. I never know who I'm preaching to, what you're going. It's none of my business. But if you're struggling today, I would be honored to pray for you and to pray with you about anything. And it would be entirely confidential with me. If you need a church home, I've had people say, I'm from Kennett, or I'm from Illinois, or I'm from Iowa. If you're from Branson or Hollister in this area and you need a church to worship in, I would be thrilled to welcome you in to Friendly Baptist. If you know Christ, come today as we sing our closing song. And as we wrap up, don't hesitate. I mean, as soon as we begin singing, come for salvation, come for prayer, come home to Friendly. I would be thrilled. And let Psalm 127 guide your steps. Let's pray together. Father, we come broken, we come guilty, we come lost, we come in need, just as I am. Jesus, I come. Now, Lord, this is the time I've prayed that eyes would be open, ears would be open, hearts would be open at the beginning. I pray at the end even more so, more strongly, Lord. Open eyes, open ears. Our life on earth is almost pointless without Christ. We need Him that much. And if there's any that need a Savior today, may they come to receive Christ. If any are in need of prayer today, Lord, may they come for prayer this morning. Any who need a church home, Lord, may they come as we sing our closing song. Speak to hearts now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 490 in that hymnal. Still in the larger hymnal, 490. Stand together. Sing together this morning. Lord, I'm coming home. 490 together. You come as we sing 490.